Well, it's not every day that we get superstars on Nothing But Net, but today we have one in Hannah Hidalgo from the University of Notre Dame. Hannah, welcome to the pod.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Debbie. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's great to see you. I don't get a chance to spend that much time with you. You're very focused the minute your 2 feet hit the lines inside the court. But I want to talk to you about overall, like, just tell us about the year, how the experience has gone, and what you're most looking forward to this March.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this season has been completely different, of course, from my past seasons. Definitely a lot more pressure on me this year, and it being my junior year, a lot of odds against us from the beginning of the year. There were a lot of highs and lows, a lot more than I've dealt with in the past. But I'm just so proud of how far we've come and how well we've been doing, especially towards the end of the season. You know, at the end is when it matters the most, when we're clicking at the right time. And I think we've been able to do that. We've been able to string wins together consistently. So I'm so proud of how far we've come from the beginning of the season.
So every team has to face some sort of adversity. I don't think anybody can win at the level that you've won without going through something. And it can be as big as something huge or something small. But there was a time in the season when you guys had lost 4 out of 5. You've come out of that now and have won 7 of your last 8 heading into the ACC tournament. What was that time in January when you guys were dipping a little bit, and how did you get yourself out of it?
Yeah, honestly, I think it was just a matter of trust and confidence, you know, trusting in each other. We've been dealing with injuries all season and even preseason too. So to finally have everyone back full and healthy, especially with all the transfers and things like that, just everybody's just feeling so much more comfortable in themselves, and then we're feeling comfortable with each other and just trusting each other. We're able to play defense, you know, for, you know, 30 seconds of the shot clock now, and, you know, we're not having as many lows in the game, because of course we're not going to play a perfect game ever, but we're not having as many lows in the game. We're able to kind of figure it out and kind of crawl our way through. So just in that January moment, I think it was just a lack of confidence and just a lack of trust in each other, and now we have it.
I think trust is the key word here, right? I mean, trust for the process, trust for the system, trust along the way with each individual person doing their job to the best of their ability. How do you build that kind of trust when you're coming into February, and because you've had great experience in the postseason with that, you know, having an eye on that, even though you're going to go, you know, coach speak, one day at a time, just trying to get a little bit better every day, right?
Yeah. I feel like, honestly, it started from even before we ever picked up the basketball and started playing together. You know, I think we were very intentional with spending time with each other outside of just the court. You know, we spent a lot of time on the court in practices, but especially in the summer, we were very intentional with going to each other's houses, going out to eat, and just getting to know each other as people and not just, you know, just the basketball player. And it's really paid off. You know, it's just so much easier just playing with a bunch of women that kind of love each other and want to do everything for each other. And just doing that, we figure out who each other are outside of the court, and just playing for each other as in playing as a family, you know. And so that's great.
You know, Hannah, there's a $1 billion industry out there on leadership and culture and defining relationships. And you just summed it up right there. I mean, that's exactly what it is, right? It's about spending time, getting to know people, having some investment in them as teammates, and then, you know, executing the discipline that's needed on the floor. Okay, how do you tie all that together in a nice, pretty bow for us?
Yeah, I mean, we're trying. We're figuring it out. Thank the Lord, we're finally figuring it out and just putting it together. You know, and we, even like the time we spent like in the summer, we still had to try and figure it out on the court. It's like we have the connection off the court. We love each other, want to be around each other. It's like, okay, now how do we put it together when we step on the floor? And I think it just comes with time. You know, we weren't just about to step in on the floor and just figure it out. We had 5, 6 transfers, you know, so it definitely took time. It took the lows, and it took figuring it out in practice to actually get to where we are today.
As you have matured as a young woman and in your game, it takes some time for players to understand the need for rest and the need for the ability to recoup. You know, I was always somebody that was, let's just go harder, go harder, go harder. Well, you do all those things, but you never look like you get tired to me. And you have a lot of responsibility on the floor. How do you maintain and refresh and restore? And then I'm going to ask you something else after that.
Yeah, I think first and foremost, it's important to kind of take those rest days. You need it, especially at the level that we're playing at now. It's such high level in the minutes that I play, 40 minutes one game, 39 another game. So it's very crucial for me to get those days of rest. And when I came in as a freshman, I didn't believe it. I'm like, I'm young, I'm 18, I'm run around and do whatever I need to do. But it's important because it starts to take a toll on your body, especially coming into, conference play and NCAA play. It's like you really have to make sure you're taking care of yourself because it's back to back, game after game after game. And so it's important to one, whether it's Normatec, ice bath, icy hot massages, like it's important to take those necessary steps, even when you don't feel like it, because in the long run, it's going to be better for you, especially, your body is your product, and kind of what you're putting out there. So you want to be able to take care of your body.
Okay, so now from a fitness standpoint, because your feet never stop moving, your hands are quicker than anybody else's on the floor, and you have a high IQ about the way you play. A lot of it is instinct, but a lot of it is IQ that you just know that when the ball comes up top, they are going to reverse it and you're going to shoot the gap. And even if you think you ball fake, you're still going to get there. It's just what you do. So what is the most challenging fitness exercise or activity that you have put your body through to be able to have this staying power and durability, because you play more minutes than anybody in the ACC?
That's tough. I would say ever since I was younger, I think those defensive drills with no ball, no offense, it's just straight defense, and it's just like you got to just slide full court, just slides, or putting the band on and just sliding like full court, like things like that to like build endurance that we still try. But I think it's all the times that we just didn't touch a basketball and we just played defense. And even now at the collegiate level, it's like we'll stay on a drill for like 15 minutes of just straight defense. We don't touch a ball. It's like we got to get three stops in a row, and if you don't, you stay there, against the men, and they coming in and they're dunking and windmilling and shooting shots from half court, and it's like we gotta figure that out. And if you don't, you stay on the drills. So that and moments like that, it really helps for the game.
When I put the bands on and I'm defensive sliding, I'm going to call it the HH drill. So I'm going to keep that in my mind while I'm training for my own event. Okay, so you have already a trophy case full of hardware, and there's more coming. What do you do with all of it? Like every time you get a trophy or an award or a medal, where do you put it? Like I don't want you to give up like a secret safe, like vault, like place, but there's got to be
Yeah,
somewhere where you
honestly,
store things.
no. Actually, I have one right here, like right under me, like right under
Which one
our
is
first.
that?
This is the first team All ACC in
From your
2023.
freshman or your sophomore year?
Yep, exactly. So I, this one, I don't know. It was important to me. I just kept it under there. But my dad normally takes all my trophies, and he has like a shrine, and he just keeps them, hangs them up. All my gold medals, ACC Player of the Year. The player of the year just hangs it up.
Yeah, hang on to all that stuff because one day when you're in the Hall of Fame, they're going to need some of that material to just display. So, what are you looking forward to most about this particular postseason? There is not the same level of expectation on Notre Dame. You're not going to most likely host. You're going to have to go on the road first and second round. I know you don't want to think about the ACC turn, I mean, the NCAA without the ACC, but let's talk big picture here because I know you're a visionary.
Right, yeah, absolutely. I would say it doesn't matter, where we are. And of course it's always great to host. It's different when you have your fans there and they're coming and they're showing out and they give you that energy when you're playing in front of your fans. But we didn't have the season where we have that privilege of doing that. And so honestly we have to take care of business and wherever it is, whether it's home, and obviously most likely it'll be away, of course. So we just got to go and take care of business and do kind of what we've been doing, regardless, with all odds against us, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, right? It's what we say, coach speak. Next play, next opportunity, right? Same as it always is in terms of your prep. Now I want to talk to you about your teammates a little bit because this year in particular, because I get to cover your team and get to watch you quite a bit live. I watch a lot of film on you, but I obviously more enjoy watching you live. When I see you create horse-like shots or catch and shoot shots for your teammate. I didn't see you doing all of that in the very beginning of the year. What was the evolution for you offensively about trying to get your teammates good shots. So, mm-hmm. because I know you know, you can't do it by yourself.
Absolutely. And that's the biggest thing. And that was the biggest thing that I needed to realize. And I think it goes back to that trust piece that we talked about. It's like, in the beginning of the season, did I trust my teammates that when I drive, they're going to hit that shot? And obviously, I clearly didn't, because I wasn't doing what I'm doing now in the beginning of the season. So now it's like I have that trust in my team that when I drive and they collapse, teams are going to collapse, kicking it out to my shooters and trusting that they're going to hit that shot. And if they don't, I'm trusting our bigs to go in there and get that old board, you know, or if I drive, being able to dump it off and trusting that my bigs are going to finish strong through contact. And I think it's just that trust piece that I had to figure out, because I'm not winning anything, you know, by myself. You know, it's 5-on-5. It's a team sport. So I need all five of every single one that's on the floor in order to win.
So when I watch you play defense, I often talk about how you never take a negative step. Mm-hmm. And I've had a lot of people ask me about, like, what does that mean? What does it mean? Well, I describe it because it's the best way for me to describe how talented you are on that side of the floor. Now, you know, Hannah, I don't like talking about defense. I'd rather talk about offense. You're 25 points a game. But this is a distinguishable character about you, is that you meet people at midcourt, like squared up, feet, shoulders, hips, and you can keep somebody on the top of the floor laterally and with your quickness without taking a drop step. Okay. How hard is that to do? I mean, just like most people don't want to dribble the ball near you. You know, I have my whole set of Hannah rules, and, you know, there are rules to live by. But how hard is it to do what you're asking yourself to do every night in trying to guard the ball?
Yeah, I think wanting to play defense is difficult. You know, everybody wants to get on the offensive side and score the ball. But it's like, if we don't get stops, then we can't go and play kind of what I want to play, which is transition offense. You know, we want to run in the open floor. That's the funnest, when we're able to get stops on defense and then run in transition. But it's really honestly just a mindset. It's like that dog mentality of, it's like, I'm not going to let this roll on me. You know, I'm not going to get beat off of just line drives, you know, and not turn the offensive player and make them just pick up the ball or think about doing something else. And I think it's really just a mindset. It's something that kind of I think about, that I always want to make the ball handler as uncomfortable as possible and make them want to give the ball up and make somebody else run the offense. And I think having that mindset really helps me for being able to play for defense for 40 minutes. Yeah.
Well, every offensive player you go against can feel you. And when I'm sitting courtside, I feel it. So I want to ask you, what do you think is the most undervalued part of your game? Is it your voice? Is it your ability to make and create shots for others? Or is it your rebounding?
Yeah, that's tough. That's honestly a good one. I would say my voice, because I think people know that I'm very loud on the court, and I'm communicating with my teammates, always trying to bring them in the huddles and trying to keep everyone stable. Before, I would think it was my passing, just because I've been able to now create and get about, you know, getting 10 assists this game, 8-9 assists this game. But I think now I would say my rebounding, low-key. I'm 5'7", and so to be able to grab 10 boards in a game against, you know, Louisville or, you know, NC State, like games like that, being 5'7", I think it's underrated a little bit, in a sense that I don't think people see it until they actually look at the stats and say, well, she had 10 rebounds. Yeah. But I'd be trying to get in there and use my hops to, you know, kind of get up and tip the ball. And then, of course, my teammates do a phenomenal job. They've been doing a phenomenal job boxing out. So I'm able to get the rebound and push and transition, and we run so much faster when it's like that, when one of the guards are able to grab the board and run, you know, and transition. So I would say at this moment in time, probably my rebounding.
Yeah, I looked it up this morning before we got together. In the top 20 of rebounders in the ACC, you're the only guard that's in the top 20.
Really?
Yeah, so put that right there and stick that one in your cap, okay? Because that's a good one for 5'7". And I say you're like a buck 10 or a buck 15. I don't think you weigh more than that. You're so small.
I am.
I know you're full of muscle, but okay. So one last thing for me is, you know, Neil is one of the great point guards, not just in the history of Notre Dame basketball, but she's had a brilliant career on the top of the floor, running, managing, great players, teams, winning titles. What would you say about Neil and her growth in your 3 years and navigating all the things that come with the Notre Dame brand and with having a player like yourself?
Yeah, I think for one, I think the biggest thing that I've noticed that was obvious to me is just her ability to adjust. You know, we went from having a team full of, you know, top draftees, you know, like, and then from going to a team that has, you know, not, you know, top draftees. And so just her ability to be able to adjust and still kind of figure it out, you know, and we've, of course, struggled a little bit in the beginning of the season, but we've come a long way. And just to kind of see how she went from coaching my freshman year and my sophomore year to now coaching the group that we have now. And, you know, to be honest, nobody expected us to win the games that we won, and we've been able to do that. So her ability to be able to coach in those type of moments and to get us to where we are now is really big and the biggest thing that I've seen. And then, of course, just her ability to connect with everyone. I've seen her connect with so many different personalities, so many different people, and to kind of put it all together and how she continues mm-hmm. to do that on a consistent day-to-day basis. I really applaud her for that because I think it's really hard, and I know a lot of people don't have that relationship with their coach when they can connect in every way. So just her ability to connect with everybody from the starting whoever to the last person to walk on, you know, just her connection with that, and I really applaud her for that.
Well, I do have one more for you, and that is besides the Notre Dame brand, which is universal and worldwide, you also have a brand that is becoming universal and worldwide. Hannah Hidalgo brand, whatever you call it. There's so much more that student athletes deal with, not just playing and not just social media, but the entrepreneurship, the business side, all the things that you're navigating. How do you balance all of that? I've had this conversation with Flage. I've had it with other high-level athletes. How do you manage it?
Yeah, I think for me, I have a great support system. So I have people around me that I really trust to handle, you know, the business side, the money side, because of course now with sports, it's NIL, you know, and it's how you present yourself and off your name, image, and likeness. And I think for one, when we're dealing with brands, I think for me, the most important thing is not wavering on, you know, my characteristics and my values, because not every brand is going to be able to mm-hmm. align with your values. And I think me as an athlete, it's okay to say no. You know, in certain situations, it's like not all money is good money and money that's meant for me. If it goes against my values, I don't want to ever waver in the person that I am for any amount of money and amount of zeros, you know, on a check. So I think it's being able to stay true to yourself, being able to say no, and then, of course, having a great support system around you that's able to help you talk to these type of brands and figure out what brands are good for you and which aren't.
I'm guessing you're a pretty good partner to have in the brand management business. I know what a great teammate you are because I watch you and I see the pure joy that you absolutely play with and that you bring to others that get a chance to watch you live. I wish you well in the ACC tournament. I'll see you down there in Duluth. And I want to thank you, Hannah Hidalgo, for taking time to be on Nothing But Net. We really appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you so much, babe.